We begin the interview portion of the program. I am Jim Rome. We are joined right now by a golf writer for Sports Illustrated. He is the past president and member of the Golf Writers Association of America. Previously covered the sport for ESPN and the Tampa Bay Times. He is the author of a brand new book entitled Drive, The Last Legacy of Tiger Woods, which was released on March 26th. We are joined right now by Bob Herrig. Bob, it's great to have you on the program. How are you?
It's an honor, Jim. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you, Bob.
Thank you.
Yeah, me too. Really, really happy to talk to you. Listen, before we talk about the book and Tiger's challenging weekend, let me start with Scottie Scheffler and his dominant performance at the Masters. He became just the fifth Masters champ with multiple wins at Augusta by three or more strokes. What does earning his second green jacket, Bob, and just his fifth Masters represent for the world's number one?
It's just more validation of how great he is. He's been sort of proving that week in, week out for the last year and a half without exactly the victories to show for it. He's won three times now in the last 5 or 6 weeks, which is terrific. But he had gone a year without a win despite sort of dominating his ball striking, his stats, his scoring averages. He has a scoring average last year that was in the realm of what Tiger used to do, you know, like historic. But he was struggling with his putting, and he wasn't winning, and so he wasn't getting the accolades. Now he's going to get the accolades. Now we're going to be talking about, can he win the Grand Slam this year? And even though that's crazy, it's maybe not, because the guy's so good, and he's just there. It was almost inevitable that he was going to be there, and then, of course, he watches everybody else sort of fall apart on him.
Bob Herrick joining us. It's a good point, Bob. Like, when you talk about it, it sounds crazy to mention the Grand Slam. Like, how much separation do you see between him and the rest of golf's marquee names, especially with so many stars now playing in relative obscurity, maybe on the LIV Tour?
The stars are all kind of struggling except for him. I mean, Roy McIlroy, who's number two in the world, wasn't a factor. John Rahm, who won the Masters last year, was way down the list. Colin Morikawa, who played with him in the last group and won two majors, has been struggling most of the year and is actually a little bit of a surprise that he was up there, and then it just didn't work out for him there. You know, Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas missed the cut. Max Homa had a really good tournament. That was maybe a turning point for him. He's not done very well in the majors. And obviously Ludvig Åberg, I mean, playing his first major, that's a huge confidence boost for him. I mean, that guy played in a Ryder Cup before, and he played in a major championship, which is pretty impressive. And he's got a lot of good to take away from that, even though he wasn't able to get it done. But the rest of the guys that we know just haven't been performing all year, and it just makes you wonder if that divide will get even greater.
Bob Herrick joining us. You know, Max Homa, I was so happy to see him play as well as he did. He faded a bit yesterday, but he did finish in a tie for third, and that was his second straight top 10 result in the major. So I was really happy to see that. Ludvig, who you mentioned, I mean, this dude was at Texas Tech a year ago as an amateur playing in his first major. That was amazing. So when you think about Tiger Woods, you know, you wrote the book that we'll talk about in a moment, but he set a new Masters record on Friday, Bob, with his 24th consecutive made cut, but then he followed that by shooting an 82 on Saturday, his worst round ever at Augusta National, and then finished with his worst 72-hole score in a pro event. Afterwards, Bob, Tiger said the appearance was, quote, a good week. How do you view it? Do you agree with him on that point?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to see it as a good week by his usual standards. I mean, Friday and Saturday were sort of the epitome of the last 10 years for Tiger. Friday was gutting it out, playing despite all the things that he's been through. I mean, he shot 72 on a day that was blowing 40-mile-an-hour gusts, and the low score of the day was 69, only one score below 70. He made the cut by 5 shots. I mean, everybody was thinking it was going to be a struggle to make the cut. He was 5 shots inside the number. He beat so many good players, to the weekend. But then Saturday was what he's been going through for so long. And it appeared to me, Tiger never really gives it up, but it appeared to me it was back problems this time. It wasn't so much the leg. He looked like he was walking pretty good, especially for that golf course with all the hills and as strenuous of a walk it is. But he flinched a couple times on shots, and it made you wonder if he was even going to make it. And that's the thing he faces. Like, can he get through 72 holes at this point of his career? He looked really good for 36 holes, and the back flared up on him Saturday. And it appeared that he wasn't quite out of it yesterday as well, that that some of those issues were still there. He only made one birdie. That's kind of a sign that he's not all there if he's only able to do that.
Bob Herrick joining us. So, Bob, your new book, Drive, The Lasting Legacy of Tiger Woods, is essentially a look at his career and viewed through the prism of his historic win at the 2019 Masters. You could have pursued any number of angles with which to write that book. Why did you decide to use that tournament and that time?
I think it's a fun debate, but I think you could argue that that's his best win. Of the 15 majors, obviously he's had some pretty big ones. The first Masters winning by 12, the U.S. Open at Torrey Pines where, you know, he had a shattered ACL and it turned out two fractured tibia in his leg, and he still won in a playoff over Rocco Mediate. And he won the U.S. Open by 15 shots. I mean, those are incredible victories. But in 2019, Tiger wasn't that guy. You know, he was 43. Brooks Koepka and Dustin Johnson and Xander Schauffele and Francisco Molinari, who had beat him the year before at the Open. And those guys didn't fear Tiger anymore. They knew the struggles that he had been through. He was 2 years removed from that spinal fusion surgery. And so I thought a deep dive on just what all that went into that win was going to be interesting. And what it revealed was really his whole career has been these sort of driven moments. I mean, Tiger has immense talent, obviously, and incredible skills, but a lot of people have incredible skills and they waste it. You know, they squander it. They don't work at it. And Tiger never did. I have numerous examples in the book of times where you thought he might not have done what he did, but he had a little something extra. I think he has something that most of us don't have, you know, which is a willpower to push on, and he just won't say no or take no. And the cut streak, for example, 142 straight cuts, didn't miss a cut for 7 years. I mean, nobody's halfway to that in his era. You know, it's just something that people look at that and they go, that'll never happen again. People might not even get a third of the way there. It's such a great accomplishment.
So, Bob, that said, is that why he's still out there? I mean, you talk about his drive, but given how difficult it is, how painful it has to be, what is driving him to continue to put in the work and put himself out there? Does he really believe that he could still be competitive and maybe even win one more?
He said it on Tuesday, last Tuesday. He said, if everything goes right, and I think that's probably a good way to look at it, if everything goes right, because when you put Tiger over the golf ball, when he stands over the ball and hits it, it's still world class. You know, he can hit his irons as good as anybody. He hits his driver out there plenty far. His short game on Friday was incredible. But the problem is you got to walk between shots and you got to do it for 4 days. You really have to do it for more than that. You have to do it in the practice rounds and you have to be preparing for these tournaments. And he's put himself at such a disadvantage because he doesn't give himself, you know, he played 24 holes. He played at Riviera in L.A. That was it, you know, and Scottie Scheffler played three tournaments and won two of them in the time that Tiger was sitting out. It's hard, and then you throw in his age. But what is his motivation? I mean, you know, there could be some commercial motivations, keeping his name out there. It helps his brand, those sorts of things. But I also don't think Tiger wants to embarrass himself, you know. So I do think he's got this drive to want to try to do it again. I mean, maybe it's just to have another magical moment. It doesn't necessarily mean a win, but, you know, a great performance or a really good result. And the thing that we're not quite sure of is, can he improve? I'm talking about his health. You know, can his leg get better? Can his back get better? Because if he has to keep going through these stops and starts like he's doing, I think that's going to be very difficult.
Right. He made the point that he wanted to play the rest of the majors this year. I find it hard to believe, but, you know, we'll see. He is the author of a brand new book entitled Drive. It's The Last Legacy of Tiger Woods. It was released on March 26th. He is also a golf writer for Sports Illustrated. He is Bob Herrick. Bob, really appreciate it. Great to have you on the show. Great to talk to you. Bob, thanks so much for that.
Thanks, Jim. Have a great day. I appreciate it.
Yeah, me too. Bob Herrick joining us. So what do you make? His point is, when Tiger's standing over the ball, he still looks great. He's still a great striker of the ball. He's still long enough off the tee. He's still good on the greens. But physically, can he hold up? You know, Tiger made that point that I want to play in all the majors this year. I find that hard to believe. Well, I don't find it hard to believe that he wants to play in them all. I find it hard to believe that he would play in them all. You know, that thing about, too, his pride. You don't want to go out like that if you're Tiger Woods, if you were the alleged GOAT. Do you want to go out being DFL? Now, if I want to turn that on its head, I could say, yeah, but there's some nobility in the grind. There's some nobility in that he's out there and trying to grind through it and putting in the time and training. Yeah, but he can only play so much. He's training physically to put his body back together in order to play, but then he's not playing very much at all. So how much nobility, like, I respect it, I do. But how much nobility, if you're that guy, is there in finishing DFL at the Masters?